103.2 Dublin City FM. It is Mental Wealth with Brian Green, and I'm in a very empty Bus Aris just here in the centre of Dublin on day 21 of a 3-week strike. The workers at Bus Éireann have been out on an all-out strike for 3 weeks, and I've caught up with two of them, Alison and Ben. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
And tell me, guys, what's it like? How are you holding up after 3 weeks?
Only for the lads, to be honest, which it would be more difficult. A home is constantly on your brain. No matter what you do, you're constantly worrying and fretting. You're worrying about your bills. You're worrying about food and everything. It is difficult. It's very difficult to get your head around this that has gone on so long. And it's hurtful, to be honest with you.
On the lead-in, like, there was a long lead-in to this and there was lots of talking going on and nothing was moving anywhere. Was it stressful in those times as well?
Well, this has been going on since before Christmas, and because we were being in talks with them around the same time Dublin Bus were in talks with them, and our company said no, they put it off. So when Dublin Bus got sorted, we assumed that we were going to be next. But then come around Patrick's Day, we were supposed to have a protest then. And they took the deal off the table, so we would work Patrick's weekend. And then they said, no, they're not interested, they're not going to have anything to do with us. So then we had no other choice but to go on strike on the 18th. What day was it? The
24th.
24th, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
And Ben, how's it been for you, like, on the lead-in and then maybe the days, like, coming up to going on strike?
Yeah, I suppose, like Alison, it's been very, very difficult. I'm only a new driver, so I'm only here 9 months. Alison and a lot of my colleagues have an awful lot of more time invested in it. So I've come in from private industries to see what this is actually happening here. Like Alison said, it's always in the back of your head, even when we were out there driving, that you know, we were getting draconian messages sent from a new CEO who didn't even take the time out to actually come down and speak to drivers.
So then the decision is made, you're going to go on strike. How pensive is that? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling okay at the minute, and the reason I'm feeling okay is because the unity that was shown among the drivers here, unfortunately, that, you know, the company came and just attacked the drivers with draconian measures. There was nobody else mentioned, from clerical workers to management, anything like that. They just took it on themselves that it was the drivers. And at the end of the day, it's the drivers that run this business. We go out every day into the front line. We bring our passengers from A to B. We offer a huge amount of assistance. But as I say, the unity that has been shown here on the picket lines by everybody looking after each other, you know, I suppose when you're around here and you're on the picket, there is a lot of talk. So as Alison said, you know, you bring it home. Everybody's worried about paying their mortgages, buying their shopping, getting their kids through education. So, yeah, it would be on your mind, definitely.
Alison, you did mention that the job is a very solitary, you don't meet your colleagues, you just meet passengers during the day and the evenings. You come on strike, you're with your colleagues, you get to talk shop a lot, but you talk about the strike and how it's going, and how does that affect you? Is that a kind of a very positive thing?
It can be at times, but there is at the moment, we're just constantly being fed by the media rather than anybody else what's actually happening with our lives, because this is our life that we're talking about here. And that in itself is a bit insulting, the fact that everything seems to be on the radio or the news, on the television, before we actually have been told ourselves. But we do talk about it, and we'll be all ifs and buts and maybes, and sometimes you just have to step away because it can get too much, it can get overpowering. And so I just have to walk away from Bus Aris and walk around it and try and give myself just 2 minutes to myself to try and get focus on it again.
Tell me about that, because I use the Lewis stop here at Bus Aris, and I see you doing laps of the building. You must be getting a great amount of exercise.
It's 400 steps to walk right around the outside of Bus Aris. I have the Fitbit thing on my wrist, and I walked, I think it was 15 kilometres here one day, walking around the building.
15, and you wouldn't get that driving a bus?
No, you're constantly, you're sitting in the one position, you get stiff, your joints get stiff and everything, because you can be up to 4.5 hours behind the wheel. And that's just on one part of your day's journey. And then your body gets stiff very easily.
It is said that walking and thinking and walking is very good for your thought process and your well-being. Do you find that you can kind of relax with the exercise?
I find it. Well, I walk anyway. You know, there's days I go home from work and the first thing I do is get the dogs and go out for a walk because I need it. I personally need to walk. I find it's the best way to de-stress myself from everything. Personal issues or at work, everything, passengers annoying you or even anything like can get the better of you. And it's not good to have that on the back of your brain when you're driving a 40-foot bus with 50 people or whatever around the country.
I'm going to throw a question at you. The high point and the low point of 21 days. High point and low point.
I think for me the high point was the march that we had that showed so much solidarity. We marched from Broadstone, met up with our colleagues all the way down from the Garden of Remembrance right down to the Dáil. Yet again, one of the things I think that we probably will be all in agreement with that our national broadcaster, RTE, has been very biased on their communication out to the public. We know we actually have been in instances where we've given interviews, they've edited it, they've cut it out, but there was a lot of solidarity there. There was nearly 2,000 people at that march, which is nearly, you know, the whole company with the kids. I suppose the low point, you know, you can't really hit it on the head because we still don't know where we are. We still haven't seen the recommendations that's going to come from the court. The low point, obviously, is seeing my colleagues out here on the street all fighting for the one thing, and that's just earning a decent level of income to bring home to their families. I suppose if I could just say one thing from my own personal point of view is that people need to realise that this is just the beginning of something that the government want to push through. They want to privatise as much of the public service as possible. And what I would be saying to people is you need to watch this very, very carefully because it's not going to just stop here at Bus Éireann. It'll go into Dublin Bus, it'll go into Irish Rail, it'll go to the Fire Brigade, it'll go to prison services, it'll also go into the civil service. So I would suggest to people that, you know, they need to show solidarity with each other because this isn't the end game for the government.
An injury to one is an injury to all. We're hours away as we record this from a Labour court recommendation and then you guys are coming back to work, is that right?
No, that hasn't been sorted out at all. The recommendation is going to be given, but what happens after that, we have to see because we're at the struggling for the last 3 weeks, so we want to see what's actually on the table for us before we decide to go back. So, no, because I'd be unfair to tell the public that, yes, we are going to be when we haven't even decided ourselves.
Yeah, I think just on that one, our unions, which is five unions, which have shown solidarity in this, you know, from a Labour court recommendation or a mandate, usually you would lift the pickets, and we have been instructed to lift the pickets, but there has been a lot of hurt out here, so we don't know what's going to happen. We will be instructed by the unions to lift it, but whether we do lift it or not will be... to be determined.
Okay, and then at some stage we will be returning to work. Are you looking forward to meeting those passengers again and going on your routes?
Yeah, I don't think we will get much of a problem at all, especially with the people I carry. I know because I've always been friendly with them and them towards me, so I don't think there'll be that much of a hardship. I think they'll be just glad to see us getting back doing what we do best.
Yeah, definitely. I would concur with what Alison says. You know, our passengers know we provide them with a service. We're not like the private operators that run just from A to B, up and down motorways. We go in through the towns and small towns of this country, and we bring people to hospitals. We bring them to social welfare appointments. We bring the travelling public. We have 1.4 million free travel cards, which we have no issue whatsoever as drivers. We love to welcome everybody on board. Everybody gets treated the same way, from a paying passenger to somebody with free travel. And as Alison said, I'm sure that the travelling public will be delighted to see Bus Éireann buses rolling back through their towns again.
I'd like to say thank you to Alison and Ben, bus workers with the MBRU, on strike here in Dublin today, and best of luck in the future.
That's great. Thanks a lot.